Good morning, good morning, good morning, everyone. Morning. Welcome. Y'all, I'm so excited for church today. Let me tell you why. I'm excited for church today because God knew we needed him. And he has already been at work before most of y'all ever got here. We were in prayer downstairs, and my husband, Pastor Mike, has been really sick for about a week and a few days. And he's like, you know, the enemy's been fighting. Let's just pray in our holy language. And I saw one of our youth. I'm not going to point him out, but I saw one of our youth, and he was watching people, and he looked really hungry to me. And he had gotten up, grabbed a Kleenex, and he saw me, and he waved real big at me, and I went, come on over here. And he did. He came over to see me, and I said, do you want more of Jesus? And he said, yes, right there in the prayer room. He was baptized in the Spirit and spoke in tongues, and now he has STP in his tank. STP is an additive to your gas tank that makes your gas go further, your life of your car live longer. That's what it means. That's what Holy Spirit adds to your life. So let's be hungry today. That's the whole point of that story, is let's be hungry today. Let's stand together as one body, believing God's going to do a work today in more than just one youth. He already planned it. He knew who would be here. He's not shocked or surprised who is here and who isn't here. And he wants to meet you where you are. So if you'll stand with me, let's pray. Father, we thank you for today. We thank you, God, because today has been ordained for our book, for who we are in you. And each one of us is personal to you. Doesn't matter how many stand and how many are here versus how many are not. You, God, are here in us, and we need nothing more than the fullness of you in us, and we thank you for that. Jesus, do your work in each heart as we worship you in spirit and truth. In Jesus' name, amen.
Cross you. but you set us free. As the nails went in and the sky went dark, redemption of the world was on his heart. Friday's good cause Sunday is coming. Don't lose hope cause Sunday is coming. Devil, you're done, you better start running. Friday's good cause Sunday is coming. On their face, he laid him down. sin, all your sorrow and your sadness. As a Savior and He calls, bring it all to the table. He can see the weight you carry, the fears that hold your been forgiven, you're accepted as you are. Bring it all to the table. It's nothing He ain't seen before. For all your trials, all your worries and your burdens, there's a Savior and He calls. Thank you.
Here today, Jesus, it's because we're not satisfied, Lord. We're not satisfied with last Sunday's blessing, God. We're not satisfied with last Sunday's offering, God. We want to know you more. We want to know you on a deeper level. We want to know you more passionately, more intimately. God, this morning, I just pray that you would reveal to us, God, more and more of you. Reveal to us, Lord, any areas of our lives that aren't glimmering with hope, Lord, from you. Thank you, Jesus, that you freely pour out your presence. You freely pour out your blessing. Right now, if you just need a touch from the Lord, I just want you to put your hand on your heart. Sickness has been running rapid in everywhere, and so if you need a touch from heaven right now over your body, just receive it. If you're dealing with stress, just receive it. Just receive the peace that comes from the Lord. If you're dealing with anxiety, just receive the peace that comes from the Lord. We're just going to stay in this space a little bit longer. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you that you pour it out, God. You pour it out, God. We receive it as your sons and as your daughters. We receive all that you have for us today, God. Lord, we pray against sickness right now in Jesus' name. Lord, we pray for all, Lord, all bodies right now that would come into alignment with heaven, God. We pray, Lord, for all anything from a cold, Lord, to cancer, God. We rebuke it in Jesus' name. We thank you, Jesus, that your name heals all, that your name cures all, God. We thank you, Jesus, Lord, that you are the healer, Lord, not only of sickness, God, but of mental illness as well, Lord. And right now, we speak, Lord, to any lingering depression, any lingering anxiety. We speak, Lord, to these bodies, and we say they are healed in Jesus' name. We thank you, Lord, that heaven is raining down over this place, God. We thank you, Jesus, as your sons and daughters step in, Lord, to what you have for us, God. You freely pour it out, God. You freely pour it out. We don't have to do anything special. We don't have to do anything extra, God. You're just ready to pour it out, God. You are willing. You are willing. We thank you, Jesus. 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 We thank thank you, Jesus. We thank you, Jesus. We thank you for the simple gospel, God. We thank you for the simple gospel, God. Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. Let's sing this out. Let's sing this together, church.
On the cross, knowing full well every single sin that he was going to die for, what every stripe on his skin resembled. He didn't turn away from us then. He's not going to turn away from us now. We complicate the gospel. We put conditions on his love. He never once said, if you do this, I'll love you then. Or I'll get up there when they get this right. When you fall in love with Jesus and you accept that he did that for you, no matter, there's not one thing that you can do to make him love you more and with any more fullness than he's already loved you. He gave every gift to you with extreme intentionality, with extreme fullness, and he didn't regret it. He got up on that cross with confidence. Right? That's the simplicity of the gospel. That is the simple truth, is that he loves you. There is not one thing that you can do to make him love you more than he's already chose to love you. And it doesn't matter if you're in the sin right now or not. When you fall in love with Jesus, those things fall off so easily. Some of them take work because it's a process, but he's not afraid of process. In fact, he loves it. He loves working in it with you, because then there's relationship that comes with that. So if you are struggling with something, come up here, lay it down and allow him to do that work, because he is not afraid of you. He is not offended by your sin. He wasn't then, and he's not now. He loves you with all the fullness of grace, all the fullness of mercy, and he's not going anywhere. So if you feel this stirring, it's because he's calling you. He has more for you. He could do it in your seat. There's nothing like he can't. You didn't even have to come to service today, and God can still meet you and touch you. That's the beauty of who he is. But there's something about when we choose to meet him in a place that's uncomfortable and look at him face to face and say, you know what, Lord? Okay, here I am, naked and completely, completely humbled before him. Who cares who's here, who's looking, or who's not here, or whatever, but just knowing that he has something more for you. Why not go after it? Why not receive it? So if you feel a stirring, I'm going to give you a few minutes, because I just really feel like the Lord is here to meet with a few of you. I can feel it. I feel him so heavily. I almost didn't say anything, but I would feel so sad if I didn't tell you guys how much God loves you. So can we sing that again, that we rejoice in that simple gospel, that he loves us in all fullness, and he is not offended. He knew every sin, and he called it out, and he defeated it, and he gave it no more power. The only power any sin has is the power that we give it, because we deny him the what he did, right?
Same.
Thank you that you have not forsaken any one of us, Lord, that even in the depths of our sin, God, you continue to pursue us and call us by name. Lord, that you got up on that cross for every and anything that we could do, God. I thank you, Lord. I just thank you that you're faithful, that you're Father, that you're our Savior, and you're our friend, all in one, God. That there's no title that's too much for you. God, I love that you are not a respecter of persons, that you'll meet every single one of us face to face, no matter how dirty we are. God, I thank you that you are with us today. I thank you that you've met us in such a tangible way. God, I thank you for taking time to mold us and to shape us and to grow us to our fullest potential in you. Lord, I pray that as this service continues, God, that our lights are brightened by who you are in us, God, that we would just be set ablaze, God, that our fires in us would become so contagious that people that we come encounter with throughout the week, God, are like, what is different about you? there's something so new about you, and that they have questions, God, and we have you as an answer. Lord, we give you all the glory, all the praise, in Jesus' name. Amen, amen, amen. Hug a neck, hug a friend.
Well, good morning. Praise the Lord. I'm one of the ones that Eric was praying for. It seems like after COVID, sicknesses are really weird. But you know, that's the world's report. That is the symptoms. But the cure is Jesus. He is giving me life right now, and anyone else in this place that feels a sickness and disease on them, just realize that He is the one that gives us life. He is the one that took those stripes, took the bruisings, took all of the abuse so that we could be made whole. And sometimes we have to believe that until we walk in the result of that and believe it by faith. Amen? Amen. Well, we're going to go ahead and do our declaration over the city of Yakima, believing for the Lord to continue to do the work that He's doing. I've been talking to pastors and been in some of their meetings. I'm telling you, the Lord is working. The Lord is working in hearts and lives. He's preparing the hearts of His leaders. He's doing a work that's very deep. And so even though we may not see it all right here before us right now, just believe that by faith, by us making these declarations, things are happening. Things are happening. So when you declare today, don't just read the words. Allow your spirit to connect with these words. And by faith, let's believe what we're saying in Jesus' name. On three. One, two, three. Thank you, Lord, for what you are doing in the Yakima Valley right now. And today we declare that my city will be saved, that revival will sweep the streets of the Yakima Valley, that every business, big or small, will thrive, that the families in my city will have all of their needs met. I declare that every politician in our city and state would have the wisdom of heaven, that you would use me in doing all of these things. And I declare that your will be done in Yakima as it is in heaven. Amen. Lord, we thank you that you are working, Lord, that you're doing above and beyond all we could ask or think or declare in Yakima. Lord, I believe right now that you're touching hearts of those that are still sitting at home. Some are watching football, Lord. Some are watching other things. Some are on their computers. Some are doing things on their phones, Lord. But I believe right now that you're moving by your Spirit through this city and drawing hearts and lives to you, Lord. Lord, as you drew me, you're no respecter of person. Father, I pray right now for those that are away from you right now, those that do not know you, those who have not heard the name of Jesus in such a way that it awakened their hearts. Lord, we release the light of the glorious gospel over Yakima right now. We speak life and light over Yakima right now, Lord. We declare that you are the one that will save this city, Lord. Lord, and use us, Lord, to reach our neighbors. Use us, Lord, to reach our coworkers. Use us, Lord, to reach our fellow students, Lord. Use us, Lord, to reach this city for the name of Jesus Christ and for the glory of God. In Jesus' name, amen.
Hello. Hi. So I'm just here to give you guys a few announcements. Well, one announcement. Next week, next Sunday, actually, at 5 p.m., we are doing the Lord's Supper, which is awesome. Gigi, I think, came up with the idea, one or 2 years ago?
Before that.
Oh, way before that. Just kidding. We've only been part of it for the last couple of years. We brought it back. But this is a time of fellowship. There's nothing expected on your part except to come and enjoy the supper and communion, right, with each other. We're going to just bask in each other's company and the presence of the Lord, eating some good food. So if you want to come, we have these little, what do you call these, like tag cards, touch cards? Yeah, so for you to take before you leave today so that you can hand them out and hand them to friends, coworkers, maybe somebody that you feel led to in the line at the grocery store if you feel so brave. Just, you know, this is our way to kind of reach out and allow people just to enjoy God and his people, his church, right? So, yeah, that's next Sunday at 5 p.m. Be there or be square. And then I think we have announcements. I mean, tithing. Tithing, you guys. What's that? It's okay. Tithing. So tithing is such a beautiful thing. It's a beautiful discipline that we get to do to say thank you to the Lord by taking the first of our fruits and giving it back to him so that he can do massive things for his people, in his city, in the church, his youth, all those things. So I just thank you guys for being such faithful givers and just continue to do that and watch what the Lord does. He's doing big and mighty things, not only in our church, but also in our youth, in this city. A lot of those things go out to help other organizations as well do what they do. So Jesus, we just bless you and we give you the service. Amen.
Amen. Amen. I'm going to go ahead and pass these out. If you want to take a few, feel free, no pressure, but I just don't want you guys to forget they're here. So again, those are invites for any potential guests. And like Nancy said, this is a great opportunity just for us to come together. Moments like the Lord's Supper are really low risk, but high reward, because people come and who doesn't like free food, and two, they get to see us in the church, whether they have a church or they don't have a church. They get to see us in a non-threatening environment where it's not like I got to come to church and, you know, this mindset people have where they think like I got to come to church and I got to make sure I dress a certain way and got to make sure that I have all my affairs in order and I got to make sure, you know, X, Y, and Z is in place, right? And the Lord's Supper or events like the Lord's Supper are nice because they just get to come into our environment, our space, and we get to just love on them and share food with them and have communion. And so I'm really excited about this. Please make it a priority. Don't, you know, post it on social media, invite anybody and everybody, because it's going to be a great time. So I wasn't right. Just like minutes ago, the Lord dropped something in my spirit. I'm going to share a message that I titled Faithful to Complainers. Us being the complainers. How many in you have noticed from time to time you can get a little complainy, a little bit, right? Okay. A little bit like, why isn't this happening? Why, you know, I've been waiting. And just moments ago, again, the Lord like reminded me of something. And it's this, is that in this season that I currently am walking in, I am walking in a blessing from the Lord that I have been contending for over 15, 16 years. And when I was in my early 20s, I'm 37 now, going on 38 in a few months. And I, in my early 20s, was getting plugged into the church, into this church, and started coming to the youth ministry. Before that, no, I didn't grow up in church. I didn't grow up youth ministry. Had no like grid for it. Didn't care, honestly. But I got pulled into the youth ministry and was like, cool, this is fine. Like, hang out with young people, whatever. And what happened very quickly is a passion dropped in my heart for a generation. I didn't know what that meant. I didn't know what that looked like. I had no grid for it. And I remember just telling, I remember journaling, I had this prayer journal and I was journaling to the Lord. And I remember I wrote, God, I want to preach your word. Mind you, this wasn't something that I had ever said, talked about before. That was new to me. And when I wrote it, I stopped and was like, what did I just write? Preach the word. Like, I barely know how to read, let alone preach the word. Right. And so And so I remember writing it. I didn't tell anybody. I might have told Nance. I don't know. But I just kind of like let it be, right? I'm just brand new to Christianity, brand new to serving in the church. And would you know, lo and behold, a couple months later or however long it was later, the youth pastor that was here at the time, he said, this summer, what I want to do is I want to give my leaders an opportunity to preach. And he's like, I want you to pick a Wednesday, and that Wednesday you're going to preach. And I was like, all right, here we go. So I picked, it was in July. I still have the notes I preached on, and again, a fire rose up in me. Like, this is really, really what I want to do. I want to preach the gospel, and I want to preach the gospel to young people. Now, God is faithful, and I'm impatient. I thought, like, okay, once I submit this dream to God, things are just going to fall into place, right? Senior pastors from all over the nation are going to be just knocking down my door, and I'm just going to be getting invited to go do these things, right? But that's not what happened. So I did an internship here at the church. And at this point, like, you know, I'm still young in the faith, but I'm married, and we have, we had one, and during the internship, Caden was actually brought into the world. But again, I still have this dream going along. And I get done with the internship, and I'm like, for sure, after the internship, this is it. Like, Stephen Furtick for sure is going to know who I am. You know, like, so I'm going to get a phone call. I'm going to get an email. I'm going to get, I don't know, something. Somebody's going to find me on MySpace, because that was a thing back then. Like, it's going to happen. And nothing happens. And I'm volunteering at the church. At this point, actually, I'm a stay-at-home dad. And so I'm coming to the church just when I can, and serving, and getting moments to preach and whatnot. And my heart's still growing. It's still burning. I'm still falling in love with youth ministry. You know, Pastor Mike and Gay took a risk on me, and Nance said, hey, we want you to run the junior high ministry. And I'm like, great. And I mean, I don't even know what I said to them most of the time, but I said something. Some traumatized them, some changed their lives for the better, and it was all good. So 2012, Nancy and I feel called to go down to Redding, California, to go to Bethel. And I'm there, and I'm serving. And now I'm like, okay, I'm serving in a big church, and I'm serving in a big youth ministry. I'm getting opportunities to speak. I'm getting opportunities to minister to hundreds of kids in a big youth ministry. I'm like, for sure, this is my time. For sure. Now I'm plugged into this place, and I'm going to be launched off into something great, right? I'm gonna have T-shirts with my face on it. Like, it's going to be incredible, right? I'm not really thinking that, but we were there for 4 years. 2016, the end of 2015, rather, we get contacted by a pastor in Bend, Oregon, and he's like, hey, I have a youth pastor position open. I want to bring you over and interview you and all the thing. I'm like, awesome. This is it. This is my opportunity, right? We go visit. Things are going in that direction. I think this is going to happen. And a couple months into it, before we even move or anything like that, it all starts to fall apart. And that Bend thing doesn't work out. I'm like, God, like, what's happening? And so that falls apart. Like, I really don't know why. It just fell apart. Well, God, that's why it fell apart. And a little bit after that, we get the call to go to Portland. And I'm like, Portland, big city. Yes, I am here. I made it. But I'm also at a church with like 50 people at a church that nobody knows about, under a pastor that nobody knows about. You know, like, it just is okay. Great. We're here. We're going to do this thing. 2.5 years into that, I'm paid on staff, right? I'm like, this is the dream. I get paid to be a Christian. I get paid to show up to church. I get paid to do whatever you do as a full-time pastor. 2.5 years into that, I'll never forget. It was 2018, in about November, around this time. My senior pastor calls me in, and he says, hey, I need to talk to you. And he says, finances of the church aren't doing well, and we have to do layoffs. So myself and my another full-time pastor, my good friend Zach, we both got let go on paid staff. But I was like, okay, God, you called us here. I don't feel like you're calling us to leave, so we're going to stay. So we stay serving that church, doing the same role for free. Praise God. Amen. And that was a whole, without getting into it, that was a whole tough thing. And so 2020 comes, and now we're like, all right, we felt God shifting and moving and doing something different, which led us back to Yakima, which, you know, I've talked about a bit here, that whole journey of coming back, and it wasn't an easy decision. I'll just say that. It wasn't something that we were like, not that we hate our hometown by any means, but it is one of those things when you leave, for those of you guys who have ever left, it's one of those things where you think like, I'm not going to go back. And it almost felt in some ways like a step backwards, right? Like I'm supposed to be this big, bad, like amazing preacher that's going to preach all over the world, right? And what's in Yakima, right? And so we come back again while we're here because it's 2020. The world shut down. Churches aren't meeting. Nothing's happening. So I don't even know what we're doing. Me and Nancy are like, are we here for long term? Are we here for a small season? What's happening? And then God reconnects. I never was not connected with Mike and Gay, but the Lord lays on my heart, go back to One Life. Go serve that house. And so we do. And we come in and I'm like, we're about to bring revival. Churches are going to explode. It's going to be amazing. And it has been amazing. And I would say the church has exploded in a different way. I believe God is continuing to do something in our house. He's definitely doing something Sunday morning, then Sunday nights for sure. And it's been great. Just not how I've envisioned it. And then earlier this year, I get the opportunity to go and share at Riverside Christian, the school my daughter attends. And I don't want to say I forced my way in, but I definitely like paved a way for me to get there because I'm like, why aren't they calling me? Don't they know who I am? Like, why haven't they said, hey, you should come and speak, right? But my daughter is going there, so I had some contact with the school, and so I was like, hey, like, do you guys have youth pastors come and speak? And because COVID, like, kind of, they did that prior, but then COVID happened, so they hadn't brought any speakers in. So they got me in contact with the superintendent, and so I sat down with him and said, hey, like, here's my heart, like, would love to come and speak, and, you know, I have students that attend your school and all this stuff. So he's like, great. This is like December. He's like, January, you're coming. I was like, January 13th. So I come and I speak and I say this line in my sharing over there at Riverside. I said, I love youth students. I'm not just saying that because somebody's paying me to say that. And I said, I wish somebody would pay me to say that, as a joke, right? Because it's been years, right? And I've been just doing this thing. And this is how you know that you are doing your passion, is that you're willing to do it for free. You're willing to just do it. And so I go preach and right afterwards, the superintendent, he comes up to me and he says, do you have a moment? Let's go. I want to talk to you in my office. I'm like, oh no, did I just preach heresy? Like what happened? Right. I sit down with him. And he slides over this piece of paper. He says, we're opening this new position. And mind you, I don't have much relationship with him. Just the one meeting, the preaching, that's it. He said, we have this position. We're opening this upcoming school year for a campus ministry director. And I want you to apply to it. Okay. And I'm just like, that wasn't what I was expecting. I was expecting, honestly, to go speak. And in my mind, even thinking, it would be really cool to like run this chapel time for free. My mind's just like, I've given up on getting paid to do this. I'm just going to do it. Right. And I was like, but it'd be really cool to run this chapel thing and just like be in charge of it. Like, that'd be really cool. I'd love to do that. And then I get this opportunity to apply for this position. And months pass and I go through the application process and the whole thing. This September, I stepped into this position as campus ministry director. And has it looked how I wanted it to look as far as like working in ministry with youth? No. But I'm here to tell you today, church, that God is so faithful, even to the complainers, that he is going to give you the desires of your heart that is best set up for you in his eyes through his perspective. When I started having this dream of working with youth ministry, working with youth, it wasn't ever in the cards like, let me go work for a school where I'd feel completely underqualified, but let me go do that. No, I was like, my scope was this, like a church is going to hire me. Church is going to pay me. Bada bing, bada boom. Right. That's what I have. But God is just so faithful. And, you know, again, I went through the process of getting this job that I now am walking in and when I sat down with the superintendent, you know, because he had told me like, yeah, we interviewed for people, but when he offered me the job, when he finally offered me the job, I think April is when I officially found out. He said, honestly, he's like, it's always been you. It's always been you. Since the time we sat down in January, it was always you. And it's God. It's 100% the Lord. I don't know what he's doing through this or what he's going to. I'm still in the brand new, like this early days of this journey, but I'm watching God just reveal to me, Eric, this is everything you've been asking for. And through the tears and through the trials and through what you think was supposed to happen and through you losing the job in Portland, the paid position in Portland and having to go deliver pizzas to provide for your family, having to go deliver Amazon packages to go deliver your family while still serving the church and while still doing the thing, right? Moving to Yakima, thinking, what are we doing here? And going and delivering FedEx packages for a living and going and working for a realtor company for a season and working for the mission. For like God's like, because now I want to say this, it has not happened without complaining, but he's faithful to complainers. Amen. He is faithful to complainers. So that jumbled mess from the Lord, did not plan to say that, but God is just so good. And my hope in saying any of that, because for you, it might be like, well, that means nothing to me. Like, I don't have a dream to go in ministry. That's not the point. The point is that the desires of your heart, God knows and God sees. And when we stay close to the Lord, as we're going after these things, as we're going after God has truly put on our heart, right? Why would I want to go into youth ministry? Like, I wanted to go make movies in Hollywood when I was a teenager. This is so far away from that idea, right? Why would anybody want to go step into this thing with teenagers, with noisy, loud, smelly teenagers, right? I don't know why, but there's a passion. And the point is this, is that what the passion on your heart, God cares about. And God wants to see come to fruition. So dream big, dream wild, dream with God. And here's the thing, is that I was, through it all, I wasn't necessarily chasing the dream. I was chasing the dream giver. Let me say that again. I wasn't chasing the dream. I was chasing the dream giver. And this is why I was able to come to this resolve when this position came to, is like, yeah, this maybe isn't the dream the way I formulate it in my brain, but God, I see you through and through what you're doing in this thing. And I'm going to continue to watch him move. God's ready. God's ready to pour out his blessing, church. He's ready to pour it out. But are we ready to receive? This is why when we do ministry, like we have ministry moments and we'll say, you know, if you need to receive or if you have something you want to receive from the Lord, the language that my wife and I use, we say, assume the position. Because if you're standing here and we're saying, hey, God has something to pour out for you, and you'll hear me say, like, put your hand in your heart, do something different. Because it's really confusing to me when the church will get into a space and we give these opportunities to receive from the Lord and people are standing there. Assume the position. Put your hands out. Do something. And I know it seems silly, but there's something I believe that happens when we have a outward obedience, when we have an outward expression that matches the inward expression. Now, do I believe God can move on our hearts and move on our bodies if we just stand there? Absolutely. But I think that unfortunately, we become so comfortable in not doing anything right? We become so comfortable in just kind of staying there in that space. But God's ready to pour out his blessing. So in Exodus, we're going to talk about the children of Israel for a moment. The children of Israel, if you don't know the story, were slaves in Egypt for 400 years. God speaks, or they cry out to the Lord, and God speaks to Moses through a burning bush, says, I've heard the cries of my people, and I'm sending you to go get them free. I'm sending you, because I've heard their cries, I've heard their complaints, and now I'm sending you. So Moses goes with his brother Aaron, and there's this whole, the plagues and the whole thing, and it's an amazing story. I encourage, if you haven't read it, go read it. Prince of Egypt, amazing movie. Go watch it. Like, it's an amazing story. So Exodus 14, this is when the climax of this story happens, of them escaping, is Moses splits the Red Sea. So they're at the Red Sea. God tells Moses to split the Red Sea, and he does it. They go across the Red Sea. Now, and I don't want to skip over this because I don't, like, in the movie, even like it's animated, but it's still amazing, in The Prince of Egypt, it probably doesn't even do it justice of the amazingness, that the grand, like, what is happening? A sea is split. There are walls. It says that it's not only that, it says that they walked across dry land. So we don't even have, we not only have a sea, a body of water being split, but the ground that the water was just on is dry. It doesn't make sense. Okay. So there's this amazing thing that happens, this magnificent thing that happens. Okay. And then, and so they go across, and now they're free. The Egyptians run after them. The sea comes in on them, and now they're free. Okay. Now they're on their way to the promised land. Exodus 15. Okay. The children of Israel are now, cause I think they're just natural complainers. The children of Israel come along and they say, what are we going to drink? We don't have any water. God instructs Moses to strike the rock. So he strikes a rock. Okay, let's not skip over it. He strikes a rock and water comes out of it. I've never seen that. I've never done that. Now, I don't go around striking rocks, but my point is that the children of Israel are seeing amazing works of God happen in their lives. But do they stop complaining? Absolutely not. Okay, because from a young age, think about a child. How much do children complain? Right? Like, I have a 2-year-old. It's like, what do you have to complain about? We change you. We wipe your butt. We feed you. We clothe you. I mean, like, we pick you up and put you in a seat and strap you in and take, like, what do you have to complain about? But it's just natural human nature. So in Exodus 16, verse 3, I want to read this. It says this. This is the New Living Translation. It says, "If only the Lord had killed us back in Egypt." This is the children of Israel speaking. Listen to this language. If only the Lord had killed us back in Egypt. Let's not forget, Lord, that you saved us from slavery. There we sat around pots filled with meat and ate all the bread we wanted. But now you have brought us into the wilderness to starve us all to death. Then the Lord said to Moses, look, I'm going to rain down food from heaven to you. They're just complaining. God, you should have just left us in Egypt in slavery, because at least we had meat. At least we had food. Yeah, but you guys were slaves. Did you guys forget that part? And what's the Lord's response? The Lord's response is blessing. The Lord said to Moses, look, I'm going to rain down food from heaven for you. Each day the people can go out and pick up as much food as they need for the day. I will test them in this to see whether or not they will follow my instructions. On the sixth day, they will gather food and they will prepare it. There will be twice as much as usual. Verse 6, so Moses, Aaron, said to all the people of Israel, by evening you will realize it was the Lord who brought you out of the land of Egypt. Because you need an extra reminder, just in case you forgot, that he split the Red Sea 2 chapters ago. Because he was hurt, because he has heard your complaints, which you're really good at, which are against him, not against us. What have we done that you should complain about us? Then Moses added, the Lord will give you meat to eat in the evening and bread to satisfy you in the morning, for he has heard all your complaints against him. What have we done? Yes, your complaints are against the Lord, not against us. Then Moses said to Aaron, announce this to the entire community of Israel. Present yourselves before the Lord, for he has heard your complaining. And as Aaron spoke to this whole community of Israel, they looked out toward the wilderness. There they could see the awesome glory of the Lord in the cloud. Even in the complaining, God hears you. God provided. You continue reading that story, and God provided manna from heaven. They would go out and they would collect this manna and they would be able to make bread from it. And it said it tasted like bread made with olive oil. It tasted like bread that they would have made having all the ingredients, right? He provided quail. He provided so much quail that they had, I think, if I remember right, it was like each person had like 108, like quail to just eat. Nobody, and here's the crazy thing about this. The math ain't mathing, because people would come and they would, it says that some would gather a little and they would have enough. And then it said some would gather a lot and they would have enough. Like, it didn't matter. God was just like, you're going to gather what you gather and I'm going to provide. My first point is this. Remember the blessing. Remember the blessing. Some of you have things in your lives that God has done, right? You have things in your life that God has done, and it's really easy to forget. It's really easy to forget the blessings of God in your life. Why? Because life happens, and we get, because of our carnal nature, because of our human nature, we get so focused on what we don't have that we forget what God just brought us from. God just brought us from slavery. Yeah, but I don't have anything to eat. I'm hungry. I'm uncomfortable. You were a slave 2 chapters ago. What are we talking about? Right? We have this, Nancy and I have this testimony journal. And it was gifted to us right before we moved from here to California. And in it is about halfway filled, maybe a little bit over halfway filled, of testimonies. Like we actually got really bad at documenting these testimonies, which we found. But nonetheless, there's these testimonies that we forgot. And the other day, we're reading them through. And I mean, amazing testimonies. Testimonies of like, hey, we didn't know what we were going to eat today. And then we left and we showed up back home and there was a box of food on our doorstep. We didn't know how we were going to pay rent. And then we went to school and somebody gave us $1,000. We didn't know how this was going to happen. And just watching God move and move. One of my favorite ones. When we went in California, we were broker than broke, okay? We were really, really poor. It was all God. And Nancy and I, but from time to time, Nancy and I, we were like, well, we want to like not just like have our identity be broke. So every once in a while, we're like, we're going to go. And it was just Skyly and Kaden at the time, just the two kids. We're like, we want to bless them. So we're going to go and have a day, right? We don't really have the money to have a day, but we're going to like take what little we have and we're going to use it. This happened a couple times actually, but one of the times specifically, there was this like jump house place in Reading, and so we're like, we're going to take the kids, and it wasn't open yet, so we went to lunch and we spent again way more than we should have that we didn't have, but we spent it because again we're just like, we just want to bless our kids. We're tired of living in this poverty mindset, and then we go to the jump place and we actually. We pay for the kids to jump, but we don't pay for ourselves because we're like, we don't want to go overboard with this, right? So we pay for them to jump. Nancy's sitting there, meets a complete stranger, and as she's sitting there talking to her for a couple of hours, the lady at the end of the conversation says, I was so blessed by your conversation. I'm so blessed by your testimony. Here's $100. And paid for our whole day. We came out on top on that day. We made money going out. But that's God. And so we have this book, we have this testimony book that we've just decided recently that we're going to begin writing, because there's testimonies that have happened since then that we have not documented. But we have to remember what the blessings are. Remember the blessing. Amen. See, the children of Israel were so focused on what they didn't have, they forgot what God just did. Freedom. from 400 years of slavery. We're talking your great-great-grandpa was a slave, and you're a slave, and now you're free. Laboring tirelessly, serving a master that really ultimately didn't care about you. That's what God freed them from. Spirit of God, here's the difference between the Spirit of God and the Spirit of man, is that you are not the main character when you have the Spirit of God. You are not the main character, God is. And if we can remember that, that it's, yes, life is hard, and it would be nice if everything went according, but at the end of the day, you are not the main character. God is. And we have to make sure that we keep God in his rightful place. Because God is good. Amen? God is good. This is my youngest daughter, Liana. When we pray at night, she was like, "Dad," because when Caden was little, one of the things that when we pray at night, he came up with this thing and he just said it, and it became a family thing that we say. And so we pray for the family. He said, "And all the angels came, and everybody said, Amen." So that's the thing that we would always say. And all the angels came, and everybody said, Amen. And it was just a cute thing that said. And I'm praying with Liana the other night, and she goes, "Dad, I want to come up with a thing." And I was like we say at the end. I'm like, "Okay." And I was like, "What is it?" She's like, "God is good. Amen." God is good. If my six-year-old can realize that, can I get a few adults that can walk in that mindset that God is good, right? Now, her life isn't that hard, but still. But I want to read a couple of verses to remind us how good God is. Philippians 4:19 says, "And my God will supply every need of yours according to his riches in glory in Christ Jesus." Jeremiah 17:7 says, "But blessed is the one who trusts in the Lord, whose confidence is in him." Psalm 23:1, "The Lord is my shepherd, I lack nothing." Sometimes you just need to remind your spirit where it came from. Sometimes you just remind your spirit that the Lord is my shepherd and I lack nothing, even when you're lacking something. It doesn't make sense, but you guys, I'm here to tell you, if you think living in the kingdom of God is supposed to make sense, you are sadly mistaken, because A plus B equals elephant. I don't understand it, but God is a mysterious being that all I know, the truth that I know, the truth that I walk in is that God is good, even in the sickness, even in the lack, even in the debt, even in all this stuff. God is still good. Amen? Yes. This is the God we serve. My final point is this: steward the space in your heart for God. Steward the space. There was a moment, I believe all of you in here, if not most of you in here, said yes to Jesus. And when you said yes to Jesus, what you did is there was a God-shaped hole in your heart that God came in and he filled. Okay? But the thing is that prayer you prayed last year or 2 years or 5 years or 20 years ago has to be stewarded. You have to take care of that space that you created for God. Proverbs 4:23, "Above all else, guard your heart, for everything you do flows from it." Above all else. And in the Passion, I love how it says, the second part, it says, "Pay attention to the welfare of your innermost being, for from there flows the wellspring of life." Here's the thing, church. We cannot expect a prayer we said 10 years ago to maintain or sustain our faith alone. We cannot expect a prayer when we came up to the altar and we cried the ugly cry and said yes to Jesus to keep us running through the rest of our life. Your faith is work. Your faith is work. Are there seasons where you just rest and you walk in the Lord and God is good and you don't have to do anything? Absolutely. But more often than not, if you don't work for your faith, there's another person coming after your faith that will win if you're not working at it. There's a real God, and just like there's a real God, there's a real enemy that's vying for all of our lives, vying for all of our attention. And if we think that some prayer we said when we were a child is going to sustain us as adults, we are wrong. We have to be in battle for our faith and remember who God is, that God is good. We have to be intentional with the space in our heart. So it's just like, isn't it amazing though? I don't know how many guys are you guys like this, but isn't it amazing how clean our house gets moments before somebody comes over, right? It's a miracle, right? It's like, if you don't believe God is, it can move in miracles, watch the last hour in your house before a guest is coming over for dinner, right? My mom, who is a clean freak, OCD, undiagnosed, but it's real, okay? She lives in Tri-Cities, and she'll come to Yakima for work, and she'll need to stay the night, which is fine. We love hosting her. However, we're immediately, you know, mom's coming. We're like, okay. And it's not because like we're afraid. I mean, I am afraid of her, but it's not because like we're like afraid she's going to yell at us or anything. But if there's dishes in the sink, if there's laundry on the dryer or the washer, if beds aren't made, she's going to do it is the reason. Like, she's going to do it. It's like, mom, I'm 37 years old. Okay, leave my house alone, right? And we don't have a dirty house, but we have four kids, right? So like, our house is lived in. So it's amazing because I'll be at work. This just happened last week. I was at work all day, and I came home, and like, the house was immaculate. I was like, what's happening? And Nancy was like, your mom's coming today, right? I was like, oh yeah, that's right, right? The space that we create for her to sleep in is like all ready to go, right? Like, everything's picked up. But when you have a space in your heart for God that you've created, right, you take care of that space. You maintain that space. Sometimes renewing your faith is an important thing to do, right? Why do we renew vows, right? We're doing this recommitment. It's not because you fell out of love with your spouse, but again, you're just making an extra declaration. And sometimes that's what we need to do with our faith, right? We need to create and take care of that space that we have made for the Lord. When you steward your space, you're able to see what needs to be addressed, right? When mom's coming over, we're able to look at the house and say, okay, like, what do we need to get rid of, right? It's easy to see like the mess, right? And when you steward your heart, you're able to look at take an assessment of your faith, take an assessment of your heart and say, what is in here that doesn't need to be in here? Is there some unthankfulness in my heart? Is there some bitterness in my heart? Is there some pride in my heart? Is there things in my heart that I've allowed in over time that I have not been paying attention to, right? The children of Israel spent 40 years on a journey in the wilderness that only should have taken them a few days. That blows my mind. That blows my mind that the children of Israel, because of the condition of their heart, because of where they were, because of, in some ways, the ungratefulness, a generation that got freed from slavery didn't even get to see the promised land. It should have only taken a few years. We cannot let a short season that's supposed to be short, turn into a 40-year wilderness season. Do not allow yourself to be put in a season, in a wilderness that you don't need to be in. God's okay. If you want to be in that wilderness season, great. I'll meet you there too. But God's also like, hey, when you're ready to get out of the wilderness season, we can make these changes. You remember who I am? Remember who you are and whose you are? We can get out of this season. Amen? All right. Let's pray. James, if you want to come up and play something. God, we just thank you so much. We thank you so much for the goodness of who you are, Father. God, we thank you, Lord, that even through our complaining, even through our hard hearts, even through our stubbornness, God, you still come through. And right now, God, I just pray for the hearts, the condition of our hearts today, Lord. God, I just pray that there would be a thankfulness, Lord, a thankfulness that would stir up inside of each person, God. God, if there's anybody in this place that is feeling like they're lacking faith, they're lacking endurance, they're lacking strategy. God, I just pray today, Lord, that you would meet them You would meet them exactly where they are. God, I thank you that you're not looking for perfect people, God, to bless. You're not looking for the best dressed to bless, Lord. You're not looking for the one with the eloquent speech or that the one that's memorized all the verses or the one that's gone to church every Sunday for the past 5 years, God. You're just looking for your children to recognize who they are in you. God, we thank you that you see us. We thank you that you see us. You have not forgotten about us. That although life can get hard, although life can bring struggle, although life can bring tears and anger and frustration, that we still can recognize that you are good. We just thank you for all of these things. In Jesus' name, all God's people said, amen. Let's worship, church. As we make it, we thank you, Jesus, so much, God, that you pour out your love willingly, you pour out your grace willingly, you pour out your blessing willingly. God, I just release a heart of gratitude into this place. Lord, it's like Pastor says, the prerequisite to blessing is thankfulness, is gratitude. So today we say thank you, God. We say thank you for your presence. We say thank you that we woke up this morning with breath in our lungs. We thank you, Lord, for the homes that we live in. We thank you, Lord, for the cars that we drive, for the clothes on our back, God. We thank you for that. There's people that love us, Lord, for our spouses, for our children, our significant others, God. We thank you, Jesus, that you give us eyes to see, ears to hear. We just thank you, Jesus. Thank you for a church that worships you first. We just thank you, Jesus. We praise your name. We just pray for this week, God, whatever it may bring, God. It doesn't change the simple, simple truth that you are good. And we thank you for all these things in Jesus' name. All God's people said, amen, amen, amen. God is good. Amen. Love you guys. Have a great week, and we'll see you guys next Sunday.